Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast, recorded January 19th, 2020. This week's sermon, James, A Christ Follower's Proper Focus, by Carrie Eck.
So we're in the book of James. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to that New Testament letter. Would you pray with me before we begin? Lord, first of all, I want to thank you for giving safety to everyone who is here this morning. God, I pray that during this message, you would bless that faithfulness, that we would find something in your word here that is so helpful and applicable to where we are at in our walk with you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shreya Dixit called her mother on the morning of November 1st of 2007. Instead of taking a bus from the University of Wisconsin to spend the weekend at home in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Shreya told her mother that she would instead be riding with a fellow college student from Wisconsin. Only 1 hour after leaving the college, the driver of the vehicle took her eyes just momentarily off the road so that she could grab a napkin. And in that brief moment, she lost control, slammed the car into a cement pylon under a highway access. Shreya took the full impact of that crash while sitting in the front passenger seat. She died a few hours later at the age of 19. Brian Rawls was a 23-year-old recent college graduate with a degree in economics. He had started a job and was living with his parents to save some money until he could afford his own place. Brian left for work at 7 a.m. on the morning of October 28, 2009, was driving on Interstate 40 near Brentwood, Tennessee. A teenage driver using a cell phone lost control of her car, crossed the median, and hit Brian head on. In the 10 years since Brian's death, his parents, Doug and Pat, have spoken to over 50,000 people on the dangers of distracted driving. Mom and Dad tell their audiences they will never see their son marry or have children of his own. They will not hear his laughter at holiday meals. Statistics show us that approximately 9 people and 1,000 die. 9 people die, 1,000 more are injured from distracted driving in the United States alone each day. The sad thing is most of us know the dangers associated with distracted driving, even death itself. But so many times we still do it. We're in the midst of a topical sermon series through the New Testament letter of James entitled Action, Reaction. Sir Isaac Newton's third law of motion states for every action there is an opposite and an equal reaction. And we've learned that what is true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world. And so in today's scriptures, and we're not going to take time to read every one of them. If you have your bulletin there on the back, it gives you the scriptures in James that kind of allude to our topic. We will read a couple of them. But James tells us in these scriptures that if we don't have the proper focus when it comes to material and financial riches, like a distracted driver, we don't know all the things that can happen to us, but usually they are not good. So if you have your Bibles, let's just start by reading in James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. If you will humor me just for a moment, I need to put on my good eyes here. All right. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position that God has given them. But the rich should take pride in the humble position they will have, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. And in the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Now listen. Those of you who are rich, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth is rotted. Moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay, the workers you mowed fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter, and you have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to read through all of James this last week. That is my encouragement each week. So long as we live on planet Earth, we are eternal souls that are temporarily housed in these physical bodies, and we are surrounded by a material and a physical world. And consequently, James says that while we are here, many people are earthly minded. I remember telling my third grade teacher that I was having trouble seeing the chalkboard. That kind of dates me, doesn't it? The chalkboard. And this went on for quite some time. She finally informed my parents, who took me to the optometrist, who told me that I was nearsighted. I could see things up close, but things at a distance became blurry. And while I didn't like wearing glasses, nevertheless, it did make a difference. It did make it possible for me to see things more clearly. James says throughout the whole letter that far too many people are spiritually nearsighted. Their minds are focused on the here and the now. And so they give very little thought to the hereafter. Far too many people plan out their days and their weeks and their life as though everything is going to occur as routinely as it has in the past, and they give very little thought to what happens after they die. And in our reading for this week, James is especially critical of those who put their faith in their earthly riches. The Bible is very clear, and we've talked about this in the past. Money is not in and of itself evil. It's the continual pursuit which causes us to compromise in other areas, to compromise our relationships with those who are most important to us here on earth, to compromise sometimes our own physical health in the pursuit of it, or even in some cases we read in Scripture, to wander away from our relationship with God Himself. And if you have read through James's letter, it's obvious there he is very critical of those who accumulate that wealth in bad ways, whether it's from swindling others or stealing from others, or he says in our chapter 5, by not paying people fair wages. James comes down on those who are financially healthy, but they care little about those who aren't as fortunate as themselves. And James is confrontational of Christians who play favorites with those who are financially well off, or those who have power within the world or fame within the world. It's an example. He gives so many examples of being short-sighted. And we find an example of that type of short-sightedness in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 13. Both Abram and his nephew Lot have accumulated a lot of sheep and goats and cattle. And in addition, they both have large families. They both have many servants. And as a result, there were arguments breaking out between their servants, even amongst the families, as to which land belonged to whom and which cattle and belonged to whom. So Abram, wanting to diffuse the situation, goes to his nephew Lot and he says this, let's put some distance between us so that we can avoid these conflicts. Abram says to Lot, listen, if you choose to go that direction with your family and your cattle and flocks, I'll go this direction. So Lot surveys the area and he looks for the land that appears to him with his eyesight to be the most productive, the most fertile. What Lot didn't see, or maybe he purposely overlooked, is described for us in verse 13 of Genesis 13. The people of this area were extremely wicked, constantly sinned against the Lord. In other words, Lot chose an area that to his eyesight looked like it benefited him financially, but in the end it ruined his family morally. Because Lot based his decision on earthly-minded, short-sighted thinking, his family ultimately paid the price. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed just because of the wickedness that took place there. In the New Testament, Jesus told a crowd, a person is a fool to accumulate earthly wealth at the expense of having a rich relationship with God. And so Jesus says, don't worry about whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear. These things dominate the minds of unbelievers. Instead, seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, above everything else, and God will take care of you. God will provide all that you need. I'm saying it's responsible to plan. It's a wise thing to do, but it's unnecessary when we start worrying about the things that we need, because that's the wrong thing to do. And the Bible is very clear in reminding us that our talents and our spiritual gifts are given to us by God, not just for our own benefit, but for His glory. Our time is a gift from God. Not just to be used for ourselves, but to advance God's kingdom here on earth. Our talents are also a gift from God to point others to Him. You know, it's amazing. When you look at all of creation, everything God created is for the purpose of drawing us, human beings, into a relationship with Him. The complexity of every plant and every animal, all the planets and all the stars, all the natural laws and all the moral laws are designed by God to prove His existence to us in our intellect. The beauty of all that we see, the wonders of all that we hear, the miracles of smell and touch are God's way of speaking to the senses that He's created within us about Him. And our unique purpose in the midst of God's universe is His way of speaking to our souls. Police tell us that sometimes while one or two thieves create a commotion in a certain part of a store, grabbing the attention of both the employees and the customers, this distraction enables their accomplices to steal elsewhere in the store without anyone noticing. Understand what James is doing here. He's alerting us to the fact that Satan often uses the toys and the treasures of this life to distract us, to keep us from doing what he's created us to do, and that is build his kingdom here on earth. Wayne Powers is a screenwriter who wrote the movie The Italian Job, starring Mark Wahlberg and Charlize Theron. While he was living in Los Angeles, he said he was frequently asked by the homeless there for money. So he came up with this idea for a documentary film, pitched it to some executives. $100,000 would be given to a homeless person to see if a sizable, unexpected financial windfall would make such a person's life better or worse. Ted Rodriguez was 45 years old in the year 2005, had been homeless for over 20 years, was surviving by collecting cans and bottles. On an average day, he could make about $20, which was enough to buy some food and alcohol and cigarettes. He was selected to receive this $100,000 and be the subject of this documentary film. Ted was provided a financial advisor if he wanted some help. The film crew was advised not to interfere with Ted's decisions. Well, when news spread of Ted's sudden wealth, he received many requests from those who were helpless for or homeless for help. Ladies suddenly became interested in Ted because of the financial fortune they knew he had received. And about 1 year later, Ted Rodriguez appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show, in which he sheepishly revealed that he had either spent or given away all $100,000 that he had received after only 6 to 8 months, and that he was now homeless again. Wayne Powers concluded that being financially poor is not life's greatest disadvantage. Being poor in wisdom is. Powers decided that without wisdom, it doesn't matter whether we are poor or rich. Foolish people can be just as spiritually poor with much as they can with little. You know what's interesting? The Bible's been telling us that for centuries. And James affirms that truth in our readings. If our focus is primarily on our lives in the here and the now, the consequences in the hereafter are not going to be good. As believers in Jesus Christ, with the wisdom of God in His Word, we can't allow ourselves to be distracted by being earthly minded. James says that we should instead be eternally minded. Wearing eyeglasses or contacts or having LASIK surgery obviously helps people to see clearly physically. Following the Lord by knowing His Word and obeying His Word helps people to see more clearly spiritually. James advises us to quit planning our daily lives with a short-sighted, earthly-minded vision and instead plan our lives with the hereafter in mind. And James says we can be eternally minded if we first tell ourselves in chapter 4, verse 15, I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. It's His will I'm going to seek first, not my own. Did you know that 2/3 of the world's population lives on less than $10 a day? Approximately $300 a month. 10%, 1 in 10, live on less than $2 per day or $60 a month, which means this, that if you and I have $300 a month, we are in the top 1/3 financially of the rest of the world. But James tells us that even a financially poor person who loves the Lord, who's focused on heaven, is eternally better off than a materially rich person who doesn't love the Lord. Because this life is short, our focus should be on faith, our faith in the God who's in control. Because that God has an unconditional love for each of us, He has promised us a life beyond this one we simply cannot describe with human words. And so we have the choice to either believe His promise and focus our lives accordingly or to doubt God's existence, to choose to live and ignore him by basing our decisions on that which benefits us only in the here and now. But every action has a reaction. Every choice has a consequence. The author of the New Testament letter of Hebrews placed Moses in faith's hall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11 because Moses chose to leave the temporary riches of his life that he had experienced in Egypt. And instead, Moses chose to place his hope and his confidence in God for an even richer life beyond this one. The Hebrew writer adds that all of the people who appear in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Faith Hall of Fame, all of those people, he says, were, and I'm quoting here, they were too good for this world. When we put our faith in the unchanging truth and power of God's word, he has something better in mind for us beyond this life. But we can't be distracted by the temporary temptations of earthly living because they can kill us if we're not careful. We have to focus on our eternal riches that we have yet to see. The great American patriot of the 1700s, Patrick Henry, once said, and I'm quoting, "I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There is one thing more that I want them to have: faith in Jesus Christ. If they have faith in Jesus Christ and I have given them nothing materially, they would still be rich. But if they have not faith in Jesus Christ and I have given them all the world materially, they would still be poor." And the Apostle Peter reminds us that Christ followers are looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth that God has promised us. J. Michael Shannon is a preacher. He describes this time when some friends gave he and his wife a couple of tickets to a Major League Baseball game. As the two arrived at the ballpark, they were surprised to see there was free parking associated with these tickets. And when they got inside the ballpark, Shannon made his way to a concession area, he waited in one of those long lines, and then he ended up buying himself a small box of popcorn and a small soft drink. You're going to watch a baseball game, you got to eat, right? Well, when husband and wife went searching for their seats, they were pointed to an elevator. They took the elevator, and when they arrived where they were supposed to be, the two attendants there informed this unsuspecting pair that all of the food in that suite was complimentary. The hot dogs, the hamburgers, the pizza, the barbecue beef, the shrimp Alfredo, the ice cream. I know, it makes you hungry, doesn't it? All of it was free. In addition, they could watch the game either from the air-conditioned suite or the seats outside or both. Michael Shannon says, and I quote, "Imagine how foolish I felt holding on to my small bag of popcorn and my small cup of soda with so much free food and beverages available." He says, "We didn't realize the riches our tickets entitled us to." You know where I'm going. We who follow Jesus Christ have little idea of the eternal riches we're going to someday receive because Jesus has already punched our ticket to heaven. The Apostle Paul wrote, because that's true, he said, "I want to intimately know, I want to deeply know Jesus Christ. I want to experience here on earth this mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore," Paul said, "I focus on this one thing. Man, I'm forgetting all of the things that have taken place in my past. And I press on to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling me." And because that's true, Paul also added, I need to set my sights on the realities of heaven. Let us determine, he said, to be heavenly minded and not earthly minded. For when we committed our lives to Jesus Christ, we died to the short-sighted and temporary enticements of this life in exchange for the eternal prize of the life that is to come. Jack Eckerd was the founder of the Eckerd drugstore chain many years ago. After he read about Chuck Colson's involvement in the Watergate scandal and Colson's subsequent commitment to Jesus Christ, and after he spent some time with Colson, Eckerd decided he needed Jesus in his life as well. It changed the way he viewed his life. It changed the way he viewed his riches. While walking through one of his drugstores, Jack Eckerd saw Playboy and Penthouse magazines on display and for sale. He called the CEO of his company over and said he wanted all of that pornography in all 1,700 of his stores removed. The CEO said, "We make millions of dollars on that." Eckerd said, "I don't care." His life was now set on eternal things and not on earthly things. He knew that a righteous God would someday hold him responsible for making money from an unrighteous source. And over the years, the Eckerd drugstores, some of them became part of the CVS chain of drugstores. Others of them became part of the Rite Aid drugstore chain, and from the large amount of money that Jack Eckerd made, he donated millions of dollars to a Bible college in Florida, as well as to many youth and family programs scattered throughout Florida. Satan purposely makes the attractions of this life very appealing. Many of those attractions are really just distractions. He wants us to focus on instead of focusing on the life to come. In fact, even when we find ourselves going through trials and troubles, which we all do, the promise of God is that our present sufferings aren't worth comparing to the glory that God is someday going to reveal within us. And because that's true, Paul says that's why we fix our eyes, not on everything that we can presently see, but on that which we cannot yet see that is in the hereafter. Because Paul says what we can see is only temporary, but what is yet unseen is eternal. Fifty-five-year-old Jack Worm had reached the pits of despair. He had failed in his business. He was without a job. And one day he's walking along the sandy California beach in 1949 near San Francisco. And his eyes focus on this bottle that's kind of half buried there in the sand. He lightly kicks it and realizes the bottle was intact. So he stops to examine the bottle. When he saw a note inside, he broke the bottle, and he read that note, and it said, "To avoid all the confusion, I leave my entire estate to the lucky person who finds this bottle, and to my attorney, Barry Cohen, share and share alike, Daisy Alexander, June 20th of 1937. First, Jack Worm thought that was some kind of a joke. But he later learned that Daisy Alexander was, in fact, the granddaughter of Isaac Singer, the inventor and founder of the Singer Sewing Machine Corporation. If he could prove the validity of that claim, of that note, he would be entitled to half of the $12 million estate. Research revealed Daisy Singer Alexander to be an eccentric who lived in England. She often tossed bottles into the water, wondering where they went. She died at the age of 81 in 1939, leaving no final will. Worm's claim wound its way through many complicated court procedures. An expert current analysis was done, and the individual testified that a bottle dropped in the Thames River could wash into the English Channel, eventually to the North Sea, through the Bering Straits, into the North Pacific, and end up in California or Mexico in 12 years. In actuality, it was 11 and 3 quarters of years later, Jack Worm claimed to have found his fortune in a bottle. A lot of legal proceedings, and those within the company deny that she ever wrote it, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is this. I wonder how many of us are ever going to find a financial fortune in a bottle. Probably none. But all of us can find our future in a book, the Bible, and in a person, Jesus Christ, who is revealed within that Bible. I'm simply saying this. Let's not become distracted by the temporary temptations of this life. Rather, let us keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The Hebrew writer says, because of the joy and the prospect of spending eternity with us, Jesus entered into the shame and the cruelty of dying on a cross, and today he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. So we got to ask ourselves, what's it going to be? Will our lives be focused on the temporary treasures and the temporary pleasures associated with earthly riches in the here and now, all of which are great? But if we focus solely on that, the results can be deadly, even as the results of distracted driving can be deadly. Or, as we live through this life, will our focus be on the eternal rewards the Bible promises when we devote ourselves to following Jesus here? What have we learned? For every action, there is a reaction. For every choice, there is a corresponding consequence. So what will it be? Let's pray. Thank you for your truth, Lord. Even as we go through this life, and we're certainly thankful for all that you provide to each and every one of us, thank you so much, God. May our focus in the midst of that still be on that which is eternal. May we utilize that which you've blessed us with, and certainly you have blessed each and every one of us. May we utilize it, God, for your glory. And I thank you that we have been called into your family, into your kingdom, for just such a purpose and just such a time as this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.